Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. But the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
So in a few minutes' time, I reckon 4 minutes' time, they will be kicking off at the World Women's World Cup final in Sydney. Hopefully someone's willing to keep an eye on the game for us and shout, "Goal!" I can see Chris has said he will and Nick will at the back as well. Again, guests, you're welcome to just look at your phone too. I mean, you can pretend you're following the football, you just might be on Facebook because you're like, "How long till lunch?" Anyway. In my opinion, to be an England football fan, whether it's the men's game or the women's game, you do have to have nerves of steel. The Lionesses have done brilliantly to make it to their first World Cup final, but the road to the final inevitably was not as easy as it might have been before the World Cup started. Three of England's best players were ruled out with ACL injuries. In their first match against Haiti, they looked decidedly average and underperformed. In their third match, they thrashed China 6-1. Fantastic. Then there was the infamous second round game against Nigeria, with Lauren James being set off for stepping on one of her opponents, and then a nail-biting penalty shootout. In the quarterfinal, they went one down to Colombia before coming back to win. And then in the semi-final, they faced host Australia and finally started looking like a World Cup winning side. So hands up if you think the women will do it today. A good number. And hands up if you think, no, they're England, they'll flop. Of course they will. I love your honesty, sir. Thank you very much. And our Irish visitor as well. And you may have a vested interest there, Claire. So, being a football fan is full of highs and lows, agony and ecstasy, surprise, success, unexpected disappointment. There's always a rubbish referee and inevitably a painful penalty shootout along the way. But today, I'd like to suggest that being an England football fan is actually not dissimilar to the life of faith. Because being a Christian is full of ups and downs, unexpected joys and sorrows, times when things seemingly go to plan, and times when they don't. For the past few months, as we've heard from Chris, we've been working through the book of Acts in the New Testament, and we've been following this character, Paul, one of the leaders of the early church who helped to plant multiple churches across the Roman Empire and to spread the Christian faith. Last week, we heard that Paul and his companion Barnabas had a sharp disagreement and they parted ways. And this week, we see what happens when Paul sets off to revisit some of the churches that he had previously helped to plant and establish. And like the England football team's route to the final, Paul's road to Macedonia, which is where he ends up by the end of today's reading, is not a straightforward one. So, what can this passage teach us about the life of faith that we live today? Well, the first thing I think we can learn from this story is that it is not always clear where God is leading us. It's not always clear where God is leading us. Verses 6 and 7 say, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, But the spirit of Jesus would not allow it. So it sounds to me as if they set off with a particular plan in mind. The plan, it seems, was to go into the province of Asia to spread the Christian message, but their plan was thwarted. The way that the story is told, it was that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, was the one who stopped them from going where they wanted to go. Now, what we're not told is, how did the Holy Spirit stop them from entering the province of Asia? And how did they know that it was the Holy Spirit who stopped them from entering Asia? My guess is that the way it's written is how they made sense of it after the event. I suspect that at the time, they kept thinking, why does everything keep going wrong? And maybe they weren't really sure where God wanted them to go or what God wanted them to do. I think after the event, it's much easier to go, oh, it all fits together now. It's because God didn't want us to go there. God wanted us to go there. But I actually think at the time, you're much more disorientated, thinking, I'm just trying to follow God and do what God wants, but I don't really know what God's saying. And sometimes the life of faith does feel like that. We don't always know where God wants us to go. We don't always know what God wants us to do. And if doors close in our face, we're never quite sure is that bad luck? Is that a message from God because God doesn't want us to do it? Or is it just one of those things that it didn't work out? Paul and his friends spent several weeks and several hundred miles walking, just trying to work out where they should be going. And ironically, seeing as the Holy Spirit had stopped them preaching in the province of Asia, they ended up at Troas, which is in the province of Asia. That's an interesting one to me. If you don't quite know where you're going in life at the moment, if you find yourself sort of saying to God, I want to do what's right. I want to follow you. I want to be in the right place. But you're not quite sure what God is saying. That is a hard experience. But I also think it's a normal experience at times as Christians. Sometimes we just don't really know where God is leading. The second thing that we learn from this passage is that sometimes God calls us to places that we hadn't planned to go or hadn't expected to go. We hear at the end of the story that Paul had a vision or a dream about a man from Macedonia begging him to travel across the sea to northern Greece to come and help them. And we're told that after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And what I like about that sentence is it sounds as if Paul and his traveling companions discussed the vision. Like Paul got up and went, I had a really weird dream last night, everybody, and they're looking at each other. It was the goat's cheese. But it says they came to the conclusion, probably because their other plans had not worked out, that the vision must have been from God and that that is what God wanted them to do. I think there is something very pragmatic about that. It's not sort of holy and highbrow. Well, we know it's a message from God. It was written in the sky. They sort of worked it out and concluded, well, I think with this dream, it's like the final piece of the puzzle. I think God's telling us to go to Macedonia. And the result is that they traveled to a place that they hadn't intended to go. And sometimes God leads us into places in life that we hadn't expected to go or hadn't intended to go. For example, sometimes in retirement, we find ourselves looking after the grandchildren when we thought we would be enjoying retirement. Sometimes we go through a restructuring at work and we end up with a job for which we're grateful, but it's not a job that we would ever have applied for. Sometimes we decide we're going to give up a job and make do on less money because we need to do it for the sake of our mental health and well-being. Sometimes we choose to leave university early because it's not working out, even though we worked really, really hard to get there. Sometimes God leads us to places that we hadn't planned to go and hadn't expected us to go. But actually, God has work for us to do in those places. The third thing we learn from this passage is that the life of faith can be very costly at times. If you read ahead in chapter 16, you'll see that when Paul and his companions arrived in Macedonia, they travelled to the city of Philippi, and whilst in Philippi, they clashed with a fortune teller, and they ended up being arrested, stripped, beaten, and sent to prison, effectively because of their faith. So not only did God call them somewhere unplanned and unexpected, but when they got there, it was really, really difficult, and they faced opposition. I know from my own experience that at times like that, I have often found myself thinking, I must have misheard God, because surely if God wanted me to be here, I wouldn't face difficulties and opposition. Surely the fact it's hard must be a sign that I am in the wrong place. But the truth is that sometimes the life of faith simply is hard and costly. And even when God has called us to a place, being there can be really challenging. I would like to say that in those times where I found myself in a place where I hadn't planned to be here, Lord, that I'm terribly heroic or stoic about it and I make the best of it. But the truth is that when faith is costly, I complain about it and I cry about it to God and other people. And I also look enviously at others thinking their life looks so much easier. Not true, of course. We all know that's not true. But sometimes the life of faith is hard and you just think, Lord, why have you put me here now? Because this is tough. The life of faith can be hard and costly, but in much the same way that the life of faith can be rich and deeply, deeply fulfilling. It's just how it is. And God is in the hard times as much as God is in the good times. Inevitably, we make the association, if life is good and easy, or it must be good, God must be blessing it. If it's hard, maybe I'm in the wrong place. No, sometimes the life of faith is just hard. The fourth and final thing that we can learn from this story is that sometimes God makes things happen to get us to a particular place, but sometimes things happen that aren't God's doing, but God can work through them anyway. Hear the difference? Sometimes God makes things happen to get us to a place, and sometimes things happen that aren't God's doing, but God works through them anyway. What I mean by that is that Paul's journey to Macedonia actually began when he fell out with his companion, Barnabas, and then Paul subsequently decided to take Timothy along with him instead. So you could sort of say, did God cause Paul and Barnabas to fall out so that Timothy could get involved? Or actually, was it the case that Paul and Barnabas fell out because they were both opinionated, but God was able to work through the disagreement anyway? As I've said, when Paul and his companions arrive in Philippi, they get beaten, arrested, and put in prison. So did God do that to them so that they could tell the message of Jesus to the jailer? Or was it the case that actually Paul got arrested because he challenged a powerful family, but God was able to work through that situation anyway? I think for many of us, when challenging things happen in life, when bad things happen in life, we want to try and understand why they've happened. And actually, we reach for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes when bad things happen, we blame God. God's big enough to take that. Sometimes when bad things happen, we blame ourselves. That is very painful. It's my view that many things just happen. I would say stuff happens, but with a slightly stronger S word there. A theology of stuff happens, people. Good stuff happens and bad stuff happens. It doesn't necessarily happen for a reason. And there isn't always someone to blame or thank when things go right or things go wrong. But I do believe that it's possible for God to work through all things and for God to bring good out of bad. Here in Acts 16, neither an argument nor a stint in prison stops the spread of the Christian message. The love of God cannot be limited here. God can work through all that happens. And in our own journeys of faith, there will be hard times. And actually, for some people, there will be very hard times because there are very hard times in life. And those are times where we often wrestle a bit with God. Why is this happening? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. Where are you? But I believe that the God who raised Jesus from the dead has the power to bring new life and new hope and new direction into every possible situation. So I've offered four reflections this morning on the life of faith. They're quite challenging reflections. I've not said, hey, become a Christian because it makes life easy and blessed and perfect. I've actually said the opposite. Being a Christian can be tough and costly and sometimes confusing and often unexpected. Being a Christian is a bit like being an England football fan. The ups and downs, the unexpected joys and sorrows, times when things go to plan and times when they don't. But we never journey alone. The Holy Spirit is always with us. And just as Timothy was alongside Paul, we as a church community journey together through the life of faith. And ideally, we share when life is hard. And hard as this journey can be, this is the road that I choose daily, because this is the road that leads to life. It is. This costly, unexpected, confusing road is the road that leads to life in all its fullness. Amen.